In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. In our liturgical calendar, today is the fifth Sunday after Easter, the last Sunday of Eastertide, the Sunday before the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord, which will occur on Thursday. It is also this year the Sunday before Memorial Day, that day in our national calendar, given to the commemoration of those who have died in the military service of our nation. In our ecclesiastical calendar, it is commonly known as Rogation Sunday, which I have often thought of as the Christian Earth Day, for reasons which I hope will become obvious as I continue. As I have commented previously, Anglicans are somewhat unique among those Christians and those churches that came out of the magisterial Reformation, in that we retained a good deal of traditional material that was discarded elsewhere in more extremely reformed churches. Now, it is true that the Reformation was a needed corrective to some of the late medieval errors and innovations that had served to obscure and detract from the uniqueness and centrality of the gospel message. Our early Anglican divines spoke of pruning the garden of some of the rank growth of these accretions, and I think there is some justice in that. But I also think it is fair to say that in their zeal, some of the reformers threw out a certain amount of the proverbial baby with some admittedly dirty bathwater. Nonetheless, the English reformers were more moderate than many, which I believe is to their eternal credit. And one of the elements they retained from the pre-Reformation church was a comparatively robust liturgical calendar. One of the dates that remained on it was today, Rogation Sunday. But what is Rogation Sunday? What does Rogation even mean, and why is that significant to us? I've spoken on this before, of course, and some of you will recall, but for those who may not, rogation comes from the Latin word rogare, which means to ask. This theme appears in the passage I quoted above, the opening verses of the gospel lesson, appointed for this day, John 16:23-24, in which our Lord says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Historically, the Rogation days, the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before Ascension, originated in Vienne, in what was then Gaul, now in France, so as not to be confused with Vienna, Austria, in the year 470, after a series of crop failures and other natural disasters had caused much suffering among the people. Archbishop Mamertus proclaimed a fast and ordered that special litanies, thus our great litany and procession, and prayers be said as the population processed around their fields, asking God's blessing and protection on the new crops that were just beginning to sprout. Because the Latin rogare means to ask, these were thus known as rogation processions. In an agricultural society closely connected with the soil and highly vulnerable to the uncertainties of nature, this was an idea which rapidly took root, if you will forgive the unintended pun, and the custom spread around Europe and over to Britain. The Sunday before the Rogation days, the last Sunday of Eastertide, came to be considered a part of Rogation Tide and was known as Rogation Sunday. Thus, the blessing of crops and prayers for those engaged in growing our food, and from that, a more general sense of praying for the grace to exercise good, due, and proper stewardship of creation is an important part of this day and this season. And so we are thinking particularly of our little garden out there as we had our rogation prayers and our rogation procession. We see this connection clearly in the lessons appointed for morning prayer for this day. In Psalm 65, the psalmist praises the Lord for that thou visitest the earth and blessest it. Thou makest it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. Thou preparest their corn, for so thou providest for the earth. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy clouds drop fatness. They shall drop upon the dwellings of the wilderness, and the little hills shall rejoice on every side. The folds shall be full of sheep. The valleys also shall stand so thick with corn that they shall laugh and sing. And in the reading from the prophet Ezekiel, also for morning prayer, we hear the voice of the Lord that, I will make with them a covenant of peace, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord. Thus the Rogation days, including Rogation Sunday, developed into a time to give thanks to God for the blessings he has given us in this good and bountiful creation, without which we could not survive, and to ask, rogare literally means to ask, his continued blessing upon his creation and our due and proper use of it, and upon the works of our hands and upon our lives and labors generally. Furthermore, there developed in England the concept of the beating of the bounds, in which the Rogation procession made its way around the bounds of the parish, reaffirming a sense of place and instructing the young in the geography of home and of significant places within those bounds. This is something I would love to do here someday, if God grants it. Because these boundaries were sometimes transgressed in one way or another, it also provided an opportunity to pursue reconciliation with one's erring neighbors. Thus, George Herbert, the famous 17th century Anglican priest and poet, gave the following reasons to observe the Rogation days, reasons that are still practical for us today. First, a blessing of God for the fruits of the field and the labors of those who grow our food. Secondly, justice in the preservation of those bounds. Three, charity in living, walking, and neighborly accompanying one another, with reconciling of differences at that time, if there be any. And four, mercy in relieving the poor by a liberal distribution of largesse, which at that time is or ought to be made. These reasons for observing Rogationtide are, of course, just as relevant, just as important to us today as they were in Herbert's era. Praising God for his blessings. Pursuing true and authentic justice, not in the woke sense, but in the divine and biblical sense. Walking, literally or metaphorically, in charity with one's neighbor. And seeking to relieve the poor. These are all duties and responsibilities of good Christians in any time or place. But it does not always happen in the dance of the secular calendar with the ecclesiastical one that Rogation Sunday coincides with the Sunday before Memorial Day. But it seems somehow fitting that it does this year, in light of our Lord's statement at the conclusion of our gospel lesson for today. In the world ye shall have tribulation, that is to say difficulties and challenges, sorrows and sufferings. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. On Memorial Day, we honor those who have died in the service of our nation, often, though not always, to preserve our freedom, our rights, and our liberties. On Rogation Sunday, we have traditionally prayed for God's blessing on our agricultural endeavors, to preserve our food crops and those who grow them from danger or harm, and thus we ourselves from hunger and want. Suffering and sorrow, death and destruction, famine and want, natural disaster and disease, and indeed war, all these things are part of the tribulations to which we humans are often victims in what my dear late mother often called this sin-sick and weary world. They are a part of the human condition, and though we may escape them for a time, none of us can escape them entirely so long as we are on this earth. Our current advanced technology can sometimes lure us into a false sense of security, that we have somehow overcome the limitations of this mortal life. But sooner or later, something will befall us that reminds us that we are all still mortal, sometimes way too mortal. Yet what does our Lord tell us? In this world, ye shall have tribulations. He makes no bones about it. But be ye of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Whatever sufferings or sorrows may occur, that is not the end of the story. For the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation which he offers transcends the world and the things of this world. We are sojourners in this mortal vale, but it is not our final home. By God's grace, our true home, our true destiny, is above and beyond this world. For as St. Paul wrote in Colossians 3:3, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Thanks be to God, who gives us this hope through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with the Father and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen.